morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Welcome to your Tuesday. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. Glad to be back live in the studio. Boy, I've missed you all. It's fun to be able to travel and keep doing the show on the road, but there's something about being live in a studio here talking to you, and it's so good to be back. And it, you know what's really neat is that we have fresh air. Oh my gosh, when we left a couple weeks ago, boy, it was really, really thick. In fact, when I was traveling to Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas, they were like, what was it like with all the fires what was the atmosphere like? And I said, it's like, imagine your smokiest bar, right? Your smokiest bar you've ever attended or some indoor space, and multiply that by like 10,000. And when I peeked at the weather for today and I looked at the index, I think the index is like 27. And I believe it was like over 500. And so maybe even 600. I am so excited to bring in the studio with me. My co-host for the day is Josh. Thank you, Josh, for being here with me today. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Stacy Ann, how are you?
Oh man, what an adventurous last couple weeks. I know you've been involved and on the ground alongside different campaigns, watching people, helping them, bringing resources. There's been a lot going on the last couple weeks right here in Oregon, and a lot of shifting, and there's something big going on tonight. What's going on tonight? The debate, right?
Yeah. So actually, we are going to be. Sorry,
gotcha.
It's been a long,
long
weekend.
Telling our other guests, we're not going to have any gotcha questions, and I got Josh.
I'm like, I don't know what is going on tonight. Yeah. So a huge debate. I'm actually going to go get a 250-inch projector screen.
Oh.
And we're going to be projecting the debate outside of the honky tonk tonight.
Well, we wondered what was going on.
I got it confirmed last night, so I'm going to bring in a sound system and everything. I just think it'd be fun. Who knows what's going to happen, if Joe's even going to show up, but we'll see.
Oh, well, you know, here's something interesting is my Terry is like, ask around, where are we going to do a big debate night tonight? And, you know, we should do something. And you and him were like on the same page, but,
yeah,
you know, miles apart as far as physically. So good to know. Tonight, at what time is that going to
be? I don't know. Whatever time the debate starts, just kind of show up before.
It'll be a fun time. Well, for me, I don't have cable. So I was like, I got to find a place, you know, in the studio with us along in the conversation is our wonderful friend Danielle Bethel. Thank you, Danielle, for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is like a whole team thing this morning, right?
Yeah, lots of energy in the room.
Lots of excitement going on. We're so proud of you, I have to say.
Thank you.
I have gotten to know you over the last several months, and you've come in and given us reports because you're on the Salem-Kaiser School Board, and you're the director of the Kaiser Chamber, and there was a big golf tournament in the rain, I heard, on Friday, right?
And it was excellent.
How did that go?
It was the best it's ever been.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, Oregonians show up when there's crises, and I think right now, since we didn't have Kaiser Fest in the spring,
mm-hmm,
they all showed up on Friday for the golf tournament, and they had rain gear on, and they were ready.
And who... Oregon rain, and we've been praying for rain anyway with all these fires, right? So I wanted to visit with you a little bit, and I know Josh has got some questions as well, but we're going to get into the meat of it a little bit later. But you have been like involved up to your neck in this fire, helping people with resources and getting community needs met. Talk to us a little bit about, I know it wasn't anything planned, it's just who you are. There was a crisis in our community, and you stepped up. What was your role specifically during that crisis when the fires hit?
Yeah, so it all actually came about really accidentally. On Tuesday morning of the fires, so Labor Day was on Friday, Tuesday morning I got a call from a friend of mine, Tamara Getch, who is the community development director for the county. Mm-hmm. And she said, I need some supplies. She gave me three things that she needed, and I jumped on the Kaiser Chamber Facebook page and said, hey, folks, we need to gather this, bring it down to my office in the next 30 minutes, and we're going to take it over to the fairgrounds. There's folks down there, you know, probably some animals because we needed some poop bags.
Mm-hmm.
And folks just showed up. I mean, we had multiple pickups of pallets of water and whatnot, and we drove over there. And when I arrived, it was just kind of happening. There was a few people milling around looking for kind of a job, and I just started answering questions. Mm-hmm. And then I stayed for 6 days and did an intake of about 1,500 animals, wow. had a volunteer crew of just over 50 people, and we didn't pay for one thing. Everything was donated. I did several Facebook Lives on a Facebook page that I have, and just about random things. I needed hay for horses. It was really, really crazy. My first load of hay, a full semi-load, came from Madras, Oregon, thanks to Timber Unity.
Wow.
Somebody saw the ask, and a truck driver over there said, I have a truck, and a rancher said, I have some hay, and they collaborated, and Wednesday morning at 6 a.m., this truck rolled in, and it just continued. It was really kind of like a domino effect of emotions and collaboration, and it just worked.
Mm-hmm. How has this fire impacted you personally?
Oh, my gosh. I probably could cry if I really deeply thought about it. I have made some of the deepest connections I think I'll ever make in my life. Mm. It's really touched my soul, and it's also taught me what kind of a leader I am. You don't really know what you're capable of until you're kind of, you know, put your feet to the fire, if you will. And it really was an eye-opener for me.
Yes, and so many families have been impacted. Josh, what questions do you have for
Well, I guess what a lot of people are kind of thinking about right now is, you know, the fires happened, the smoke's cleared, and everything's there. People are starting to realize what the damage has been done. So what kind of involvement can people still do today? What kind of things are happening right now? Because it's not at the forefront of everybody's life like it was a couple weeks ago. So what kind of things are happening and kind of are still being done on the background? And what kind of things can people be involved in continuing to help these people out that have been completely displaced and everything else?
Yeah. So first I'd say is continue to listen. Because right now we're in a hurry up and wait mode. There's a lot of government pieces that have to come together, specifically up the canyon. The Department of Environmental Quality has to come up and do some site testing to determine what type of bad materials are up there and what to do with them. So I have a vacation spot up at Detroit, and I went up for the first time on Sunday with my Detroit family. And you don't really realize what it is until you walk into it.
Yeah.
And it was profoundly impactful for me. Of the entire town, I think I saw about 12 standing homes, vacation or primary, 12. I mean, the entire community is leveled. Those people right now are just kind of going through that initial observation shock. They're connecting with FEMA. Today at 10 o'clock, if you're not aware, there is a call with FEMA and collaborative government partners in Oregon, and you really need to be on that call if you're impacted in any way. In any way. If you owned a property and you had fire around it, you should connect with FEMA. And then there's groups starting to merge. So, of course, right away, the canyon came together as a family, and the Santiam Hospital has a 501c3, and they instantly acted, and they created the Santiam Canyon Wildfire Relief Fund.
Good.
100% of the money and goods, 100%, is going to go back to the community and the individuals who are impacted.
Wow.
And that's really important, that 100% number.
Yes, yes.
501c3s typically have to have an operational budget, but the hospital has committed all of their funds and staff and resources to the canyon. So they're really facilitating a lot of different things. They're working with all the utility providers to see how quickly they can get particular things back on in different areas of the community so people can move back in, and then they know what phase they're in.
Okay. So in that, there's a rumor going around. I'm not sure if it's true, but are they looking to postpone the ability for people in the Detroit area to be able to rebuild based on the fact that they want to actually rebuild the utility infrastructure?
So I don't know that that's a rumor. It's a conversation.
Okay, and so it's just a conversation. It hasn't been a...
So for a while, the county has been in a collaborative effort with the other, with all the communities up there. There's four about that infrastructure, the water sewer systems, and I thankfully I'm not dealing with that yet. That's in my near future. But being that I'm up there, I am hearing the conversations, and there is a goal to get that infrastructure in place. But whether that causes a delay or not, I don't know.
Okay.
But it's definitely not the intent of the county commissioners to create any type of a delay.
Okay, good.
And that's the beautiful part about all of this is there's beauty from ashes, really. I mean, it's so devastating, and that's a child childhood favorite place of mine, Detroit Lake, and that area and camping. And I know you guys, that was your family getaway and all of that. And as sad as it is to rebuild it right, makes sense, you know.
Yes.
And I understand, but there's that government people, you know, struggle again, and making sure that your voice, if you're listening and you have family and you're that area, you need to show up to these meetings. You need to be heard. And that's the beautiful part, which we'll transition to in the next segment, a little bit of what Danielle's looking forward to when she said in the near future. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but it's so important that you get your place at the table. If you're listening or have family, listeners, friends, you need to be involved. I know it's very overwhelming right now if you've lost property or a home, or you know neighbors that have. It's important that we stand together strong and with good information. Great question, Josh.
Yeah,
excellent question.
Maybe there's a new Santa Ann Park in the making. I don't know.
So one of the things that I think is really interesting from the conversations I've had is that there's mixed feelings about that infrastructure opportunity. So a lot of people don't know, and I didn't until recent, that there's challenges to expanding property or building, of course, if you don't have proper underground resources, so water, sewer, things like that. And once that opportunity is in place and that infrastructure is there, it potentially could change the makeup of the town. And the one critical component that we as community members are working on is maintaining the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I personally would love to take Detroit and turn it into a major competition source for Sisters Oregon, which is one of my most favorite Oregon destinations. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to lose Detroit's culture,
right,
which is what I think is most important. And a gem as to why people go up to Detroit is because of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's other opportunities out there. For example, this Saturday, I'm coordinating a team of people to go up the North Fork because Gates is also very impacted by the fire.
That's
very
true.
Impacted, specifically up the North Fork area. And there's people up there that can engage now and start working on rebuilding. Sorry,
yes.
I forgot with my microphone on.
There
I was just stopped talking.
We got it. Yep.
So, we're facilitating calls and interactions as I go up the canyon. I've served dinner at the volunteer locations up there and just had conversations with our neighbors, and they've said, this is what I need. So this particular gentleman needs folks to come in and help him clear some trees and some down buildings so that way he can move forward with his life. And he didn't have a larger community. And the Valley really wants to engage. So there's opportunities to help.
Huge opportunities.
And I would just say, I hope people help from their heart and they don't worry about what that profit will look like on the end, because you'll be paid tenfold someday in the future if you show up now.
I'm a firm believer in that we show up and we help one another, and that networking and that togetherness really does reap a great benefit. If someone is listening right now and they're like, I have a tractor or I have this that I can bring to the table, who would they contact? Would they get a hold of you to get involved, or would you direct them to the right? I mean,
what's your phone number?
Actually, funny you say that. It is actually on Facebook, because during the week of the fire I did have to get an immediate response from the world, and I did throw it out there. But no, I mean, you could email me, but it's more important for you to contact the entity that's going to facilitate it all long term, which is the Santa Ana Canyon Wildfire Relief Fund.
Okay.
And you can go to the Santa Ana Hospital, and they have a Facebook page or a website, and it will direct you to an email or a phone number to call and say, here's what I have and here's what I want to do, and they'll put you on a list. They are collecting that list.
I love it. Well, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Josh and Stacey Ann and Danielle hanging out this morning talking about what's going on in our community. We're so glad to have you be a part. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. If it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you. And I want to say how relieved I am to come back to Oregon and see the clean air. Oh, my goodness. We've had such an incredible year. 2020, as I've said this before, I think the greatest, I would say, you know, expense in our day-to-day lives that has been a regret is a 2020 planner, right? Because every day is a new adventure and you don't know what to expect. So you think you're going to do this, right, Danielle? I'm sure Danielle Bethel is here with me, and I've got Josh as a co-host as well. And you plan out your summer, you plan out your fall, and you make all these great plans. And what we've learned, one of the words we've learned a lot about is pivot, right?
Yes.
Being able to move from side to side and just be able to, especially with children, you know, talk to us a little bit about your background and where you're at. I know we talked about the school board and we talked about Kaiser Chamber, but tell me the rest of the story with Danielle.
Yeah, so I'm a mom. I have three children. My son, my oldest, just graduated from high school. He's a COVID graduate, so yeah. He had to pivot mm-hmm. constantly through the end of his senior year, and he actually just graduated a few weeks ago in August. And I have two daughters who are doing comprehensive distance learning, so they right now are all online, and it's the worst experience I've ever had as a parent in education, and I can't wait for the governor to figure it out so we can get back to school 100%. My husband and I own a small business. I'm the director of the Kaiser Chamber, and mm-hmm. I'm the vice chair of the school board here locally in Salem-Kaiser, so I'm in the thick of it when
yes,
it comes to education,
yeah.
Hearing from all the families and the educators. There's so much going on. There's a lot of emotion, and it has been a very rough ride.
It has been. And Josh, as a dad, a single dad.
Oh, don't get me started on the Department of Education.
It's been an interesting time. Just right before I left, I heard a story, Danielle, and it is interesting. And I certainly were concerned as parents, and I'm a grandparent, so my kids are in South Dakota, but it's affecting them, too,
yeah.
In education. My daughter's having to pivot and figure this out. But the interesting thing here in Salem is there's a mom. She's got several young children. And she owns a home, so they're paying taxes, her and her husband, and they got children. Well, the school's closed.
Right.
But there's a daycare in the school, and she can utilize that daycare, because she works. So she can send her kids to daycare there.
And she has to pay,
and
right?
It's like
yes.
$2,900 a month. So
yeah.
It's safe for her kids to be there in daycare, but they can't attend school. And then on top of that, the people that are in there in this daycare program are probably not skilled teachers, but they're overseeing them uh-huh. in their schooling.
Right.
So, I mean, do we have a problem here? I think a little bit.
Better question is who's writing these policies? And how is it that my 5-year-old has to wear a mask all day at school, yet we can go into a restaurant and take it off after we walk 15 feet and sit at our table? Mm. So how and who, what's their name and their phone number? Because I'd really like to call them right now.
Yeah, Colt Gill, absolutely.
Colt Gill, okay.
He's the director of the Department of Education, and it's
perfect.
Really important for people to know that he's not the state superintendent. Kate Brown is.
Mm. Okay.
Kate Brown is the mastermind behind education.
So she's the one
education.
Writing the policy?
She's the one giving the direction and instruction as to what the outcome is, and Colt Gill is the director. He has a board of education, and I can give you a screenshot of who it is and
okay.
how you engage them.
Okay.
I think there's 9 members, and they're the ones that kind of meet and facilitate. And, of course, this is all in collaboration, if you could see my air quotes, mm-hmm. With the Oregon Health Authority on the science of exactly what's happening with COVID-19.
Which is in collaboration with the World Health Organization, right?
Yeah,
because they're
probably.
Not listening. Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, the Oregon Health Authority and everything else, they're taking directives from the World Health Organization, which is completely bypassing all the CDC updated numbers. How are they able to update all of these numbers and information and everything associated with it? We're looking at all this progress happening.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming out with the vaccine and everything else. But how are we still progressing toward a more draconian lockdown position?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me. And I know it's not you making the decision.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But that's really interesting. We're going to start putting some pressure on these people because they need to know that most of Oregon and the displacement that's happening with all these parents and kids and the mental illness that it's creating, the screen time that
mm-hmm.
it's forcing them. Our goal as parents is to try to get our kids to go outside and go play outside. Now it's like, oh, hey, this is your school now, is you have to go sit on an iPad. Or a Chromebook or whatever it is now. And they're actually indoctrinating that screen time to where it's going to be even harder now, because you know that they're sneaking in a little bit of YouTube here and there and doing this. And so that is that indoctrination into the new screen time culture. And so it's really important, I think, to try to figure out how we can get them back out, playing outside, having recess, and being humans.
I think you just
robots.
Make the decision as a parent, though.
Yes.
I mean, we are all free. This is America, and we can make our own decisions. And in my house, we have said we'll give it 6 weeks with our kiddos to see how comfortable and successful they are. We want to be optimistic because, you know, we want to pivot and we want to participate. So far, like I said, it's not working. And the emotional health of my kids is more important. And we do very much engage our children in outside activities, make sure that they have that healthy mindset. But I think it's important for folks to realize that you have a choice here. Mm-hmm. And you can get hung up on the details and the challenges and the barriers of what the government wants you to think is hung over your head. But that isn't necessarily true. I mean, I have a full-time job. Mm-hmm. I work very hard and I'm doing lots of things in the community. And we may pull our kids out of public school and we may find an alternative. And what does that look like? I don't know. But I have to make the best decision for my family. And I really want to empower people around me to be thoughtful in that and not be afraid and to lean out. There's all kinds of cohorts. Yesterday, I spoke with a mom who full-time job, and she doesn't have her kids in public school. She has neighbors on her street that have kids in different age ranges, and they trade houses every week. And it's working for them, and their kids are healthy, and they're loving their school, their version of school right now.
And they're getting the interaction. And I think your point is made well, that we have the power. The power is in the people yet, and we have the opportunity to be heard. But we have to take that step. And I know it's scary. It's kind of like the mask thing. You know, we want to get along. We don't want to cause waves or cause trouble. That's how we're, in a sense, even more so being conditioned. But we can be heard. And I love the fact that we can contact this gentleman. And I love the fact that we can continue to contact our governor and our elected leaders. And that's why it's so important that we get the right people in the elected positions. And talking about pivot, we're going to pivot into that after this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. We're hanging out with Josh and Danielle Bethel. I'm so excited to have you along. I'm Stacey Ann. I'll be back right after this. Today, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, together on this Tuesday. My co-host, Josh, in the studio with me. Hello, Josh. So good to see you.
And wicked, I want, wicked, wicked.
Yep. He brings some great enthusiasm to the discussion each and every day when he's here. And Danielle Bethel, so glad to have you along. I want to do a shout out for our sponsor this morning, Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency. Thank you, Bill. He and his wife, Lisa, picked us up late last night because we had all kinds of misfortune yesterday trying to make it back to Portland from Northwest Arkansas. And we finally made it back, and they came and gave us a ride. Thank you, Bill. He has Country Financial Sunderland Agency. Give him a call, 503-885-0789. We're continuing the conversation, and we've had so much going on in our community and so many concerns. And I want to throw this out to both of you, Josh and Danielle. When I was traveling over the last few days, it's interesting in Arkansas, they'll say, oh, you're from Oregon. Oh, my goodness. How is it there? And I said, it's tough. It's tough. I'm honest with them. The smoke, all of the COVID. I said, when you look at the numbers and you even compare Northwest Arkansas or you compare South Dakota, where I've spent time, you know, our numbers, South Dakota is just off the charts good, you know, and they've been free the whole time. But compared to Arkansas, our rate here per capita is way less than Arkansas. Now, that could be because we've had a major lockdown. And I told folks since March, you know, we're going to flatten the curve for 2 weeks. And here we are months and months later. Now it's affecting our kids and it's affecting our livelihood. And I think until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, people will just keep doing what they're doing. But everybody's been upended. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or a Democrat or independent, non-affiliated. We're all being affected and infected. And I'm calling this an election infection. I don't think it's any coincidence that her Governor Brown's lockdown continued through November 3rd, right?
Right.
And so the governor of Florida just opened it wide up. And other states are looking at opening it wide up and no restrictions and let's get back to business as normal, right, and as usual. And I think it's time that we open Oregon up. We've got too many. When the cure is worse than the threat of the disease, and we're seeing it, you're talking about the rippling effects in families and business owners, all of that. And so I'm curious to hear, what do you think we should do? Danielle, what do you think we should do?
Open the state back up. Mm-hmm. It's pretty simple. I know there's a lot of fear, and I respect that fear. I think, so I had the privilege on Saturday of hearing Governor Noem speak. She's the governor of South Dakota. Mm-hmm. And I think she said it best. She asked her people to do the right thing, and she trusted them, and they did. I think that we're capable of doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
As Josh mentioned earlier, it's really ironic that you know, your five-year-old has to wear a mask to go to school, even though we're not in school buildings yet. But you can go to a restaurant and sit at a table and not be able to wear it and can take the mask off. I don't know how the virus is any different in a restaurant than it is in a classroom. In fact, we just need to get kids back into a classroom. And we don't know what we don't know. We just need to give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
I think other states across the country gave it a try and they had some risk. They took it and they walked it back. They created some control mechanisms and some education and their citizens engaged. And then they moved right back forward and it was successful. I think that Governor Brown is just a dictator. Mm-hmm. And I think she doesn't trust anyone because she can't be trusted. And that's the way she operates. And
we love it.
Yeah. And the difficulty, Josh, with that is when people aren't given a freedom or their choice.
Yeah.
Everybody walks around agitated, and this mask thing has made everybody in fear of each other. They don't even look at each other in the eyes. They don't. It's this cold culture, a real cold culture, and that's not who we are in Oregon. And so then the fires happen.
Yep.
And guess what we saw? What did we see, Josh?
Just everybody come together, and then suddenly nobody was talking about COVID anymore. I mean, In retrospect, I mean, as terrible as the fires were, they were terrible. I was so sick of hearing about the COVID that it was really nice. And people, it was kind of a relief for people.
Mm-hmm.
It gave them something else to focus on because, you know, back to your guys' point of what you're talking about, there wasn't a surplus of people playing in traffic before COVID, right? Or jumping off cliffs or, you know, playing with fire, burning, you know. We as individuals have the ability to make those decisions and we are capable of determining what's safe and what's not. We don't need to be told, hey, oh, by the way, and then if we do a little bit of research, you don't have to dig very far to realize, hey, like this isn't that big of a thing, you know? People aren't dying in droves. Why are we shutting down the entire state because of it? And, you know, just the cure doesn't fit
the threat of the disease.
It just doesn't line up, which makes you wonder, you know, what are they trying to do? And the reality is they're trying to keep us in our homes. They're trying to destroy the economy. They're trying to do all this. Our government in Oregon is actively trying to do that, and they just want to control us. And so it's up to us to say, no, we're not going to do that. So we really have to just actively be active.
And I think being a part of the solution, it's easy to curse the darkness and
yes.
point out
yeah.
all the things that are
yep.
going wrong, but we want to be a part of the solution. And that's where we're gathering together our listeners, getting registered to vote, getting active. I know everybody is challenged financially because this has hit a big hit on everybody's pocketbook for the most part in regards to economics, right? But if you have an extra $25, an extra $50, $100, put it into a campaign so these folks that are running for election can get their name out there, can connect with people. And I think the beauty out of ashes, the beautiful part of what happened out of the fire is a lot of our candidates that have been running, they're already connected in the community, but they were able to resource and connect more. And because of their position already in communities, being able to bring help. I know that that's you.
Yep.
You're part of the chamber. You're part of the school board. It's just a natural part of who you are. Talk to us a little bit about your next step that you're looking towards and what you're running for right now.
Yeah, so I'm the Republican candidate for the Marion County Commissioner seat. Commissioner Brentano is retiring after 17 years of amazing service. And I was delighted to be sought out by a group of my peers and consider the opportunity a year ago. It's been a year since. Since I started this journey, and it's been remarkable. And Sam has endorsed me, and he has supported me, and he has coached me. And I'm really looking forward to winning in November.
I'm excited to be a part of this, Danielle. I'm so excited about what you're doing and how you're getting name recognition out there, because you're already a part of this community. And I agree, the best government is local government, and we need to get engaged. No more can we stand in the stands anymore. We've got to get engaged, each and one of us. And the power of that movement momentum is huge. And so get registered to vote, show up. How can people learn more about you and your policies and the things that you hope to do here in Marion County?
Yeah, so DanielleBethel.com is my website, but I would say if you're on social media, you need to find my Facebook page. Mm-hmm. That's where the activity really happens. You can scroll back to the last 3 weeks and really see what the impact looked like for Marion County and evacuees, because I was on the front lines of dealing with them coming out of the canyon, Scotts Mills, Silverton, all those areas. What I'm most looking forward to is taking my most authentic self to that level of leadership and teaching folks that leaders are and should just be the average person on the sidewalk. There should be no agenda. There should be no end goal except for to create the best, most sustainable community that they live in through their heart and passion. And I have to say, this is, I think, fun to say, I thought this campaign process was going to be horrible. You know, it's a big job. It's a big deal to a lot of people. And I have been so blessed through the process to just be myself. And when you're just being yourself, you don't have to really think very hard. So it's just been a natural flow for a year. And, you know, the next 38 days or whatever it is until the election, I mean, that's, you know, my feet are going to be very tired because I have places to be and people to see. I still have money to raise, but I think I'm going to do it. I think it's going to be great. And I'm excited to just partner with my community outside of Kaiser and Salem, like this whole canyon access. I made a lot of friends in Silverton. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited.
Lots of treasure. You've been treasure hunting and helping people, not for stuff, but for people. And you're connecting them. And that's what it's all about. People think the hokey pokey is what it's all about. Nope. This is what it's all about.
That's right.
You are making a difference, and it's fun to team up with someone. And so by going to your website too, people can donate to your campaign.
Yes.
Okay,
DanielleBethel.com.
Awesome. Awesome, Josh.
I'll tell you, I'm impressed, Danielle. I really am. You have my vote.
Yay.
100%. Fortunately, I'm in Marion County, too.
Thank God.
So.
And Marion County is such a vast county. It has the vineyards to the trees to the all of that, and such diverse, too, people from the cities to the communities. And what's the population base, you know? Or what
It's about 357,000.
Woo!
Nice.
That's like half of South Dakota. For the
really?
Whole state. The whole state of South Dakota
got
a little less than 900,000 people.
So. That's awesome.
And I understand you got to spend a little time with my friend Christy Noem.
I did. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. I was telling folks, like, if you read comic books when you were a kid, she's definitely the Wonder Woman character in every book I read. She is who I dream to be.
Yeah, she is the real deal. And when you talk about having people like you and I stepping up and running and taking those elected leadership positions, you know, that's where I think Oregon is at right now. Identifying people like Josh and others like yourself who down the road can put themselves up, their time, treasure, and talent. I think of Amy Corser Ryan. I think of all of these people who are stepping into the arena. Joe Ray Perk, you know, it's just incredible how they're, and yet it's not without difficulty because it's hard here. You're like the salmon swimming upstream. But we are where we're at because people keep electing the similar people year after year after year, and you're complaining. Well, how about do something different? Let's get some new leadership into these positions.
Absolutely.
And let's get reconnected to the communities and to that local level, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Marion County has been a Republican county for about 40-some years, and so let's keep that trend.
Yeah.
It's really important. I think what folks need to know about their county is that they don't get out of their skis financially when you operate your county like a business,
that's right.
What Republicans do.
Right, yeah. And we've been successful in Marion County, and we want to continue that on. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. Guess what? October 1st, we're going to 2 hours, because look at this. We only have one more segment left, and this hour will be over. We'll be back after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Tuesday. Want to remind you, currently going on, for the next 40 days is the 40 Days of Life for Life campaign, 40 Days for Life campaign. And this is a rally up through the 1st of November, and it's a prayer time from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. outside of Planned Parenthood. Really important campaign. It's just right around the corner from the studio here. If you want to get involved, they're located, Planned Parenthood is located on Wolverine Street, Northeast in Salem here, and you can go ahead and get involved by getting a hold of them, 40daysforlife.com. Salem, and get involved. And then the Life Chain is coming up this Sunday, October 4th, Lancaster Drive, all the way up and down Lancaster. And from Broadway, there's also going to have it at Broadway and Liberty and First Street in Staten. So this is an opportunity to gather the Life Chain at 2:30 to 3:30. And I know that's something that's taken place here for many years. And so the issue of life is important. And you will always hear me talk about that and defend life from conception to natural death. And really, that's what we're talking about here. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is the American way. We have the Constitution and our founding fathers who said, this is how it will be. And we had no idea all these years later how important that is. And so we talk about being a representative. You talk about being on the school board, Danielle. You talk about what you do with the Kaiser Chamber and entrepreneurship. In supporting businesses, and now going on to being a part of the commission. Tell me where you're at on the Constitution. Is it an old document, old school document that should just be, reinvented and let's do it better some other way? Or what are your thoughts there?
I think the Constitution for me is like the Bible. Mm. Every time I have a need, I open it up and there's an answer. Mm. I don't think it's necessarily open for interpretation, but I think it's a solid document that we have to reflect back on and use as a stronghold to continue to create opportunity. When the Constitution was created, look where how far we've come. Mm-hmm. And there has been a lot of bumps in the road, a lot. But if we could always just look back and think about the intent, the real intent of that document, and really invest in that mindset, in that emotional growth, I think that we could create more opportunity of collaboration and continue to grow in a healthier, stronger way for our whole country. I don't think we all have to be like-minded. I don't think we all have to agree. I think we can respectfully agree to disagree. And I think that people who, and there's a lot of them that would disagree with me, if they would just take the time to get to know me and understand my perspective, which is possible, by the way, mm-hmm. I think that there would be an opportunity, A, for me to grow myself and to create new opportunity, but also for them. It's a partnership.
That's what I love about you, because you and I think a lot similar that way. If we could get together and just have, we're not afraid to meet with people that don't agree with us.
Right.
We're not afraid to have those discussions. And I think, Josh, what we've lost is that ability to reason together and learn from one another right now. Everything is so polarized.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's a trick of the Democrats, in a sense of what I've found. And I have some great friends that are Democrats, but guess what? Most of them are voting for Trump.
Yep.
Do you know why? Because their core Democrat Party that they stood for is no longer the same. It's gotten so liberal and so extreme that they're like, no, I need to do something different here. And many of them are looking at candidates and they're leaving. They may be non-affiliated now or independent. They're not completely going to the Republican side, but they like the values the Republicans hold, right?
Well, I think a lot of people are scared. Given in this digital era that we're in, everybody's on stage all the time. Mm. Everything that you do is constantly being monitored, ridiculed, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know? So people are really scared to have a stance because they're also scared to be wrong.
Right.
Because if you're wrong about one thing you did 15 years ago, you know, it could be the end of your life. But the reality is that, you know, people are wrong all the time. We're all wrong all the time. And we have to be able to be wrong to learn how to be right.
Exactly.
And you have to dive into that and understand that. So you can't be worried about what the keyboard warriors are going to say or anything else. Have a stance on something at the time based on your best assessment for that day. This is where I'm at. You guys change my mind later, I might change my position, and there shouldn't be anything wrong with that. But we've become so polarized for people not to be able to stand on anything. So everybody's just standing in the middle waiting, looking at everybody else. And because of the flack, and bless you for, you know, standing up for in the heart of the stronghold here in the Democratic stronghold. But you're a beam of light for people, and I think it's intimidating. And so they don't want to be wrong and or unwind whatever they've created in their mind. And so it just takes time. I really believe it. I do think that there's a huge tidal wave
coming into the Republican side. Well, and it's also important to say that it's easier to hate.
Oh, it is.
That's what I've experienced. On the school board, I have experienced the most extreme hate I've ever seen in this community in my life. And it's not news that I was a homeless kid. I navigated all kinds of dark corners of Salem as a child. And until today, I have never experienced what I'm experiencing. And I mean, I have people that call in on the school board just to be mad at me because I'm running for county commissioner, which is completely irrelevant to being on the school board for me because I am, by the way, the only parent on the Salem-Keizer school board.
Mm.
But the hate piece of it just flows for people. And I mean, I have a deep faith, and so I know where that comes from. And it's hard to resist that. But it's always harder to do the work. It's always harder to be thoughtful. It's always harder to invest your time. But I think we should, and I think we can. And I mean, I had a gentleman reach out to me recently and say, I want to tell you all about my health care for all plan. And I was like, okay, I mean, I'll come and listen to you. Maybe I'll learn something. I mean, I'm not a fan of giving away things for free. Mm-hmm. But again, I have an experience in county care because my mom was bipolar schizophrenic. We lived in the system. So there is a need, but that need needs to be relevant. And I think people just, as you said, polarizing, but this creation of silos of us versus them, it is going to tear our country apart. And we need to just be calm and patient. You know, when I was a kid, my mom used to put my sister and I in a t-shirt when we would fight, one shirt, and basically it was the get along shirt. You've seen that?
That happened
to us. Yep. And she'd put us out on the front porch. It doesn't matter what time of the year. Outside you go. I don't want to hear you. Work it out. And boy, we worked it out fast. So maybe we just need to get more of those get along t-shirts and make things happen between these groups.
I think that's a great idea.
I mean, you know, maybe after COVID, if it's up to Governor Brown.
Yes. Well, I think it, from today's discussion, we've definitely learned that our local community is the best for making the decisions, right? And that it's okay to stand strong and it's okay to do something different and get out of our comfort zone. But moreover, that we need to be a part of the solution, right, Josh?
Absolutely.
And if you're wanting to stand forward, give me a call.
Yeah.
It's scary. I'm not going to lie. But this is probably one of the most terrifying things I've ever done because, like you said, we're on all the time. There's not one place I can go in my community anymore where people aren't looking at me wondering, is that her? Or filming me because I am her? And I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not going to make all the right decisions all the time, but I'm willing.
Yep.
And that's what's most important. And there's a lot of people listening today that are willing and they don't know how, and I want to help them.
What's your website again?
DanielleBethel.com.
And your Facebook page?
Same. I think it's Bethel for Marion County.
All right.
Just put in Danielle Bethel.
so glad to have you here. We'll have you in October when we go to 2 hours, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Danielle.
Thanks, Josh, for being a part of the show this morning.
No problem.
All right. Over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, my friends, remember, you and I, we're overcomers. Have a blessed day. Thank you.